97, verses 1 through 10. It says, the Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitudes of isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are around him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. A fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies around about. His lightning enlighteneth the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness. And all the people see his glory. Confounded be they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoice because of thy judgments, O Lord. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness.
Amen.
Precious Lord, we thank you, Father God, and we thank you, Father God, because you're the big G God in this verse, in these verses, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that we're not serving a little G God, an idol or a false God. We serve the God that created the heavens and the earth, or as the text say, the whole world.
Amen.
Father God, we're glad like Zion that you saved us, that you called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. But you didn't call us, Father God, to sit in the light, but you called us to fill us with your word. To fill us with your truth and your faith and your hope and your grace and your mercy. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for everything that's taking place today. We thank you, Father God, for a wonderful Sunday school. We thank you, Father God, for songs that lift your name up. We thank you for the prayer of the righteous. Now, Father God, we thank you in advance that you would speak to us through the word of God. Through the preached word, Father God, that we would hear a word from you, not a word from a man. Father God, we thank you in advance and for everything you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We've been talking and preaching a series through David, great lessons from David. David was called in Acts 13, 22. And in Acts 13, 22, Paul referenced David. He says, and when he had removed him, talking about Saul, he raised up unto him David to be their king. Now watch this now. To whom also he gave testimony. Now God's given this testimony about David. There's a testimony about all of us that God will give. He said this about David though. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. How about that? What made David a man after God's own heart? And why should we as believers, as Christians, as those that have been bought, those of us who understand and appreciate God's work on Calvary, why should we want to be men and women after God's own heart? And what does it take? First sermon in the series, we talk about David had a love for the word of God. David had a love for the word of God. Then we talked about David's praise. And David was a praiser. David loved to praise God. He did not let anything compete with his love for God.
Amen.
He didn't let anything compete for his praise for God. And I know we praise a lot of things, and we have our favorite teams, and we go to high school football games, different things like that, and that's fine. But when those things start to compete, start to control us and take away our ability to praise God, they become a problem. Mm-hmm. David didn't have a problem. Nothing competed with his praise for God. But we talking about what made David a man after God's own heart. He loved the word. He loved to praise God. But look what what's written here. In verse 10, I just jumped out at me. He says, "Ye that love the Lord." Psalms 97 and 10. You say you love the Lord? Oh, how I love Jesus. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. You know, now I looked at this dictionary verse. I've been called a hater before. And when I thought about it, man, I'm a hater. You call me a hater. Now, you know, Reverend Neil, you was a hater. You just hate, what you know, you just hate things. I didn't understand it. I understand it better now. The Bible says you understand it better. Okay? A person who greatly dislikes a specified person or thing. You know what the Word of God is saying to me today? The church is a place where haters gather on Sunday morning to praise and worship the greatest hater of all time. Anybody ever looked at it like that? God was a hater. Amen. He hated stuff. Oh, people, oh, you know, that's what you pushed it too far. God was a hater. I'm gonna help you. I don't have everybody's email. Nobody emailed me back. I emailed this out. Nobody emailed me back. Dave didn't even email me back. Ann didn't even email me back. Could have said something. Could have said, hey, amen. I believe. I'm wondering, like, well, maybe where they at with this? The principal of a suburban school in St. Louis is apologizing after telling girls they shouldn't display their breasts and bellies or rear ends because it's distracting to boys. Now you guys understand what this is just an illustration. This is the world we live in. This principal at a suburban school in St. Louis is apologizing to the kids and the people and the parents for telling their young girls they shouldn't display their breasts, bellies, or rear ends because it's distracting the boys. Yes, it is. Okay? And teachers. Okay? Now, it says, reports that Oakville High School principal Janet Kellerman told parents at an open house Thursday that such an incident will never happen again, and she was upset that she may have hurt a student or students. Mother of one of the kids said she was horrified that the remarks in the message that boys are somehow not in control of their own thoughts, feelings, and emotions. True, they're not. Amen. Not at 15, 16. Watch this. She apologized. Now, this is the world we live in. Daniel Murphy. Anybody ever heard of Daniel Murphy? Murphy? Other than Dave? Daniel Murphy is a devout Christian baseball player. Got traded to the Chicago Cubs. Daniel Murphy, his Christian beliefs were called archaic because he didn't believe in homosexuality. Amen. He didn't say he wanted to kill all the homosexuals or nothing. He just said he believed the word of God said it's against God.
Amen.
Okay. And they said his beliefs were archaic, ancient, that's what the word means. Outdated, prehistoric, and old. You know, if what's being said here is true, we marvel just at the Bible. And the Bible is archaic. Okay? And the Word of God says that the Word of God is the same what? Yesterday, today, and forevermore. You know what it's really saying? The Word of God is not going to change.
Amen.
It's never going to be popular. And if you're looking for a popular word, you're looking in the wrong book. Okay? Now, it should be some haters in here. Okay? This message, you probably didn't heard nothing like this before, because I never looked at it like this before. And I wanted to find out what made David a man after God's own heart. And you know what I found? David was a hater. Let me help you with some scriptures.
Amen.
David, in Psalms 119, 103, be really interesting. You stay with me with this. David said this. Watch this now. How sweet are the words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Let me read that again. Through thy word, through thy precepts, through studying the word of God, through Bible study and reading, I get understanding. Now watch this now. Therefore, I hate every false way. A lot of things happened under David's rule. But one thing that did not happen under David's rule, Israel did not go into idolatry and false worship.
Amen.
Okay? Now, when David said, I hate every false way, we know, those of us who are born again, those of us who are saved, we know that there's only one way.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Jesus said, I am
Amen.
The way, the truth, and the light. No man comes to the Father but through me.
Amen.
See, that'll get you crucified.
Amen.
That'll get you crucified, because Judaism isn't the way.
Amen.
Islam isn't the way.
Amen.
Catholicism isn't the way. Mormonism isn't the way.
Amen.
Jesus says, as haters, we ought to hate every false way.
Amen.
How's your hate today? And I think about this. What God hates, we ought to hate.
Amen.
If we love the Father, we ought to hate what the Father hates.
Amen.
You know, when I was coming up, my father wasn't a church man, so this ain't going to be no biblical illustration. He wasn't a church man. He liked the Browns. Matter of fact, my father loved the Browns. Okay? And part of the thing that come with loving the Browns, you gotta hate the Steelers. I mean, it's the two don't you can't say, well, I like the Steelers, I like the Browns. In my house, that would have been blasphemy. Secular blasphemy. Okay? See, so what David is saying, I hate what God hates. And if it's an abomination under God, it's an abomination under his children.
Amen.
Okay? So in Deuteronomy 22:5 say, hey, therefore, if a man wear women's clothing, that's an abomination under God.
Amen.
See now, they got man purses coming out.
Uh-oh.
And they got man dresses coming out. And they got suits with suit. Men are wearing suits with shorts. Okay? And they're buying big $40,000 Gucci bags. And they're wearing this stuff. Okay? Now we ought to hate what God hates.
Amen.
The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. See, it is. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Okay? That's the word of God. David taught it. He taught it to his sons. He said, if you're gonna love God, you gotta hate evil. Anybody ever heard Hate the sin, but love the sinner. How many know that ain't biblical?
Amen.
How many know who wrote that? Mahatma Gandhi. Let me tell you all something. Gandhi didn't die on a cross.
Amen.
Okay. Gandhi wasn't born of a virgin.
Amen.
Gandhi is not sitting at the right hand of God. Matter of fact, we can go find Gandhi. See, when you read a statement like that, hate the sin and love the sinner, then your church is not going to be full of haters. Don't get me wrong, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But we ought to have some holy hatred toward things that God hates.
Amen.
Here's Solomon. Again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. And what's that instruction designed to do? What's that instruction designed to do? What's godly instruction designed to do? It's designed to get you to fall in love with the things of God. And when you fall in love with the things of God, you fall out of love with the things of the world. Okay?
Amen.
The more you love God, the less you're going to love anything else. The more you're going to hate anything else. Think about it now. Some of you in here with children, I think about this all the time. Before you had children, and you hear about something happen to children, it just didn't affect you like it does now.
Amen.
Okay? You hear about a pedophilia going on and kids, you know, I read the other day a 3-4-month-old baby was raped. You feel different about that with a 3-month-old than you would without one. Okay? When you hear about people snatching purses or rapists in the area, in the community, you feel different about it when you got a wife.
Amen.
When you got your daughters out there living in this crazy world. And you have a hatred toward it because, you know, that affects something you love. Okay? That affects the people you love. Now, when God says, okay, his hatred is based on the fact that his love is so strong. When you love something so much, you don't have enough to spread around. And you will understand when something starts to attract you and take you away from the things of God, take you away from your love for the things of God. David says he hated evil. What's up with the church today? Where's all the hatred at? Where's all the hatred at in the church? What does the church hate? It's almost like the church has embraced sin.
Yes.
It has embraced sin, and all that God hates is comfortable in the church.
Uh-huh.
The church ought not be a comfortable place. It's a holy place. David hated every false way.
Amen.
Where did he learn that from? Listen, when Solomon taught about God is a hater, turn me to Proverbs 6. You're familiar with this. You guys are familiar with this. Because we don't like to, we talk about hate. Well, you know, your pastor, hating is mean, hating is cruel. Not godly hate.
Amen.
Okay? We're not talking about malice. We're not talking about just what we talked about this morning, Sunday school, anger and all that. God says this through the person of Solomon. He says these six things, Proverbs 6:16. He said these six things the Lord hates. Okay? Yea, seven is an abomination unto him. He said a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift in running to evil. A false witness who speaks lies. And one who sows discord among the brothers. When I was reading this, and I put some stuff beside every one. Okay? And a proud look. And a haughty person. A lying tongue. Politicians. Hands that shed innocent blood. Abortion clinics. And heart that devises wicked imaginations. Hollywood. Feet that be swift in running the mischief, the media.
Amen.
A false witness that speaketh lies and soweth discord among the brother. A false witness. How about that? Prosperity preachers. TV evangelists. You see, they're speaking lies because everybody's not going to be wealthy and everybody's not going to be healthy and folks going to die.
Amen.
But anything about the media. How many know Aretha Franklin and Elvis Presley died on the same day? But before Aretha, not in the ground yet, and the media run into it, they looking for a story. And they dig up all, everything that happened in her past. And she had a rough past. Such were some of us.
Amen.
Okay? All of us had a rough past. God hates a proud look. I don't want to look at some of this just for a minute. Just a proud look. Somebody said, what's a proud look? You walk around like you all that. You got it all together and you look down on people. Okay? You have all the attributes of the devil, because the devil's sin was what? Pride. Pride caused the fall of Lucifer. He became Satan. Pride keeps folks away from the church. Folks don't want to come to the church. Why? Pride. Pride. What would my friends say? What would your friends say if you let them know I'm a born again believer? I've changed. Pride stops you from giving God glory. Some people say, what would my family think? I'll call it a family reunion. Everybody's at my brother's house last week and they partying away, you know. And that, why ain't you there? Why ain't your picture on Facebook with all that?
Uh-huh.
I'm with my family. I say that all the time. When you're born again, you get a new family.
Amen.
See, we don't like to think that. We'll blood thicker than mud. We'll go down in the sewers with our families.
Uh-huh.
Families that don't give nothing about the things of God.
Right.
Folks that hate everything about the church and everything about God. And we'll roll with them all the way to the toilet.
Oh, yeah.
But that's your family. That's your family. You wait a minute. Therefore, if any man being Christ, he's a new creature.
Mm-hmm.
See, we have a hard time with that. We have a hard time with that. We have a hard time letting stuff go. And I'm not saying, you know, we don't want to give up on our family because they need to be saved. They need the Lord. But that's a point where it comes when your family separates you from the work of God and your personal ministry. Be careful. Satan used family. Certainly, Satan has used family to distract you. The Bible says that God hates a lying tongue. A lying tongue. And one writer said a scandalous tongue. Most of your sins of fraud and theft and all the theft in office and all that comes from a lying tongue. Who are you lying to? First, you're lying to yourself. It's all right. You know it ain't all right.
Amen.
Okay? Listen, the truth and the lie will always clash.
Amen.
When you come to the Lord, you come to a saving knowledge of God, and your truth will confront you. It has to.
Amen.
It has to. Truth, it has to confront you. Jesus said, who is the truth? He said, you should know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. You know what? You got to want to be free. You got to want to be free. And one way to get free is what? Let truth reign. Hear it. Apply it. Okay, I'm going to let truth deal with this situation. I'm going to let truth deal with where I'm at right now. And if you do, you'll be free. Lies keep you bound. Lies keep you bound.
Amen.
Jesus said, hands that shed innocent blood. And I thought this was an interesting one. Okay. Somebody said, not all murders are behind bars.
Amen.
Okay. Not all murders are behind bars. How about that?
Uh-huh.
And we know that Jesus said in his word that if you talk about somebody and just put somebody down. And you know, that's what the world's full of today. All comedians do now, they just condemn folks. Put their mouths on people, as I heard one preacher say, put your mouth on a person. Listen, whosoever hates his brother, the Bible calls him a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. What's he talking about there? What's he talking about? Hates his brother. Hates him for what? Without a cause. Without a cause. You know when Jeremiah was preaching? It's a fascinating story. Jeremiah, what did they call him? The weeping prophet. How many people got saved under his ministry? Zeros. Goose eggs. But he preached the gospel. He preached the truth. And that's all a prophet was supposed to do. And if a prophet didn't preach the truth, he was to be stoned. Okay? Now, watch how these people came at Jeremiah in Jeremiah 18:18. He says, and these are the haters. These are the ones that was hating Jeremiah for preaching the truth, even though really nobody was listening to him. They didn't want him, they didn't want no one to hear him at all. Then said they, come, let us devise devices against Jeremiah, for the law shall not perish from the priest. He's not going to stop preaching. He's not going to stop preaching unless we kill him. He says, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come, let us smite him. Watch this now. Not with swords, with the tongue. Tell a lie on him. And let us not give heed to any of his words. Now watch this. He says, let us bring a capital charge against him. Okay? What's the point? If they brought a capital charge against Jeremiah, basically a prophet could never be what? Be wrong. And that's what he's saying about the God hates hands that shed innocent blood. Listen, be careful. Okay? Let me keep going. I put Hollywood onto this one. The Bible says that God hates a heart that devises evil imaginations.
Mm-hmm.
Evil imaginations. Said in Romans, their hearts was on evil constantly. That's how the world is. You turn it on. You turn it on and it's evil. It's evil. What's going on in the news? It's all evil. You can sit here and you look at what's going on at Ohio State University. You can see what's going on in Maryland and what's going on in the White House and in the Congress and the Senate. It's just all evil because everybody pushing their own agenda. Everybody pushing their own agenda. And if you don't like it, guess what? Let's think of something. Let's think of something. Some kind of way we're going to bring this thing down. Some kind of way we're going to bring this thing down.
Amen.
And you know what? Satan's been doing that a long time with the church. Long time with the church. God is a hater. God hates a heart that devises evil imagination. God hates feet that run swift to mischief. I remember once Cindy and I was coming. We was at a YSU football game or a high school game at YSU, and a fight broke out. And y'all be careful going to high school games. Because there were stories out of Florida. They was just shooting up. People were getting killed at the high school game. Because these gangs, you know, we can sit here and these gangs, they don't care. They shooting up. But Cindy and I was coming out of a game. We seen one of the young ladies from the church. And a fight had broke out. And the police was directing everybody to go one way. And these folks was going toward it. They was going toward it. Cindy knew the young lady. And she said, "What y'all need to be going the other way." She said, "No, we're going to see what's going on." Feet that run swift to mischief. The Bible says that God hates a man or a woman who discords, who sows discord among the brothers. See, when you say, "Oh, we can find all this stuff in the Bible about what God hates." And God hates. God hates. What made David a man after God's own heart? Because he hated what God hated.
Amen.
But you know what? David's hatred affected his selection of friends and activities.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Okay? Let me say that again. His hatred affected his life. What he hated affected who he hung out with and who hung around with. Psalms 101, interesting psalm. Here David is just dissecting his life. He's talking about his friends and family, and he's talking about folks that he won't have nothing to do with. And when you come to the Lord, you don't have to sit here and say, "Well, I ain't going to hang around with this person, that person." You know what? God will give you a supernatural cleansing. Stuff will just start falling off of you. You're not going to sit here and say, "Well, you know, if I get saved," and this is why a lot of people don't get saved. "Well, you got to stop doing this. You got to stop doing this. You got to stop doing this. Can't go there. Can't watch this. Can't listen to this. Can't be with her." Listen, if you get saved, the Holy Spirit will direct you. It will direct your guys, your thoughts. And if you, I'm talking about if you truly get it.
Amen.
Okay? You ain't got to drop nothing.
Amen.
You ain't got to drop nothing. You ain't got to stop doing nothing. Don't let nobody tell you. If you get saved, I can't. You know, if you get saved, you ain't going to want to do some things.
Amen.
Okay. David in Psalms 101, verse 1, said, "I was singing of his mercy and his judgment unto thee, O Lord." I was singing. David received God's mercy. And if you say you receive God's mercy, what is mercy? We talked about this morning. What is mercy? God not giving us what we deserve. David didn't get what he deserved. He received God's mercy. Okay. God was merciful to David. We know that from Psalms 51. He said, "I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when thou come unto me, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart." With a perfect heart. He's talking about his public life and his family life. He's going to be a man of God. Let me say that again. In his public life and his family life, David was always representing God.
Amen.
"I will set no wicked thing before my eyes." How about that? Well, Spectrum would hate that. Like Spectrum. "I will set no wicked thing before my eyes." Every time you turn on the TV. You know, David didn't have TVs. "I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me." What are you talking about there? He said, "I hate the work of them that turn aside." He's talking about apostates. He's talking about people who once said they loved the Lord. Now they're living like they don't. How about that? You see folks all the time. You don't see them for 6 months. They come back to the church. Then they leave another 6 months, come back to the church. Can you do that? How long can you? How many Sundays can you miss? How many Sundays can you miss? Okay? "Whoso privily slander his neighbor, well, him I will cut him off. That have a high look and a proud heart, will I not suffer." David's going through the list, not hanging around with other people like that. Now watch this part here. Verse 6. He said, "My eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me." David was selective. How selective are we? about the people we associate with? That's a serious question. That's a serious question. Because if you hanging around with unsaved people, people that don't love the Lord, they got a mission. And they're gonna sit here and, well, you know, you can do this, and it won't hurt, and one won't hurt, and two won't hurt, and three won't hurt, and four won't hurt, and you constantly being bombarded to lower your standards. Lower your standards, lower your standards. Don't take all that, don't take all that, don't take all that. And next thing you know, you're walking with them. Next thing you know, you're walking with them, you listen to them, and you're going to them for advice. And next thing you know, your desire for the Lord is constantly being challenged. Constantly being pushed on.
Man. That's right.
David was a hater. He hated things that defied God. Jesus was the same way. Jesus and David. David was called a type of Christ, but Jesus hated too. And we don't understand that. We say, oh, Jesus didn't hate. Well, How do you explain this verse? He said, enter you at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in there. What's he talking about? Jesus said there's a straight gate. Okay? And that's a narrow gate. And those who go in that gate are going to be with him forever in paradise. Okay? But he says, the wide gate, there's no restriction, no boundary, no bald head preachers, preaching the word, none of that. And you can go that way, which leads to destruction. Okay? What's the problem there? When Jesus says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What's he saying to those who don't believe? What kind of life are they going to have? It's not going to be eternal life. It's going to be eternal. It's going to be warm. Listen. Amos. All the prophets. Remember, they all got killed. Jesus said you killed all the prophets. Why'd they kill them? Why'd they get killed? Why'd they die? Because they hated evil. They hated evil. They hated evil. Watch this now. Here's Amos. Hate evil. He said, hate the evil. Amos 5:15. I want y'all to know because I said, well, hate ain't in the Bible. Hate the evil, love the good, and establish judgment at the gate. And it may be that the Lord of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Okay? Isaiah. Fox's Book of Martyrs say Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, was cut in half. That's what they used to do. Let's cut him in half. Okay? Here's Isaiah 1:16 and 17. Wash ye, make you clean, put away the evil of your doing before their eyes. Cease to do evil. The word of God has always been preached, cease to do evil. It's always been a warning message. It's always calling us to cease to do evil. If you hear a message and it's not telling you to stop doing certain evil, or it doesn't address your behavior, your righteousness, your holiness, it's probably not from God.
Amen.
Okay? That's all the Bible is, a warning book.
Amen.
And this is why the church has gotten away from it, because people don't want to hear it.
That's right.
People don't want to hear it. God's people are required to live holy lives. Required to live holy lives. Here's Jesus. He was a hater too. They came to the, remember that in at the day of Passover, Jesus came to the temple. He seen all the money changers. Okay. And what the money changers had done is there was a court that the Gentiles worshiped at. They told the Gentiles, no church today. We're going to be selling oxen where y'all worship at. We're going to turn that into a flea market. Okay, how many go to the flea market? Been to the flea market? You go to the flea market, and they try to sell you stuff outside the French fries, Everything they're selling you is overpriced. You think you're getting a deal. They probably got it for free. And now they're selling it. And they're hustling. Selling hats and knock off this and knock off that and all this kind of stuff. But they were doing it in the temple. And Jesus came into the temple. Watch what he says. It says, Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out them all that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, it is written, watch this now, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves. What were they doing? What were they doing? People was coming to the Passover from a long distance where they, so long a distance they couldn't bring their own sacrificial animals. So they had to buy them at the temple. And the folks at the temple were selling them for outrageous prices. Normally you pay $2 for, in this hypothetical, you pay $2 for two turtle doves, they was charging you $15. They was hustling the people, they was working the people. Okay? Listen. Church do the same thing today. Same thing today. Written out to churches with parties and events and different things like that. Be careful. God's house, when you come here, we ought to come here wanting to hear the word of God preached. We ought to want to hear the word of God saying. We ought to want to hear the word of God prayed. We ought to want to hear God's people loving one another. That's what God's house is for.
Amen.
Okay. And the money changers have taken over. And folks are doing everything they can to raise money in the church. Everything they can to raise money in the church. I see some crazy stuff. It's some crazy stuff out there, boy. The social media is doing hard, giving the church a hard time. Because these folks are videotaping this stuff. And unbeknown to them, they don't even think it's foolishness. They don't even think it's foolishness. I sit here and watch stuff on the line that's going on in churches. I was telling them this morning about the man in the pulpit with the treadmill. He got the treadmill on the pulpit. He's preaching while he's walking on the treadmill. They praise dance and they're using hula hoops. And the woman praise dance with a hula hoop. They breaking it all the way down. They breaking it all the way down. My sister go to one of the churches and 10,000 members and they breaking it down. I'm sitting here watching this stuff. It's a shame you got to block your sister. I don't want to see this.
Amen.
I'm going to see this. No, you shouldn't block your sister. I don't want to see this.
Amen.
Well, we only raised $288,000 last month. You know. Jesus talked to the scribes and Pharisees. Remember that story in Matthew 23? Hey, we got this picture. We've talked about this morning. We got this picture of Jesus being soft. Oh, he's so soft. He's so soft. Push over. No, he wasn't. I don't know where to get that from. That stays on my mind. I don't know where to get it from. But here's Jesus talking to the scribes and Pharisees, the religious rulers of that time. And in Matthew 23 and 13, he said, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer them that are from going in. What were they doing? Teaching false doctrine. They was teaching them wrong and preventing them from getting to heaven. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you compass the sea and the land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. That's Jesus talking. You say, where are you at in the Bible? That ain't the Jesus I know.
Amen.
Matthew 23. What about us? How you feel about sin? How you feel about false ways? How you? Ask yourself, am I a compromiser? This is a serious question. How's the church? Is it soft? It's got to be soft. Got a big payroll. Got a big budget. Got a big heating bill. Got a big air conditioner bill. You know, man, we can't preach like that. We can't preach like that because people ain't going to give if we preach like that. Whose problem is that?
Amen.
How's that affect you? Jesus said, preach the word. Paul said, preach the word. Preach the word. Listen. We talk about sin. We talk about sin. We talk about the souls of men. And I put this sermons, they go online, they go out into the world. But you know what? It's a battle going on in the world. And Satan got a lot of folks out there battling. Okay? And what's the battle? What's the battle over? Your soul. So it's your soul. We're battling over the souls of men. So when we preach the word of God, we're trying to save a soul. People think this is a game. People say, this is, church. You know, I have to go to church, have a good time. Okay? The big church, they come up, the big events, they got things going on in church. A lot of folks over to today, Friends and Family Day. You know, bring all your friends, bring all your family. Yeah, we have a good time today in church. And people think it's a game. How many believe hell is real?
Amen.
Seriously, think about it. Cleveland is real. Jeremy, you went to Cleveland this week. It's real. You get there and say, welcome to Cleveland. Okay? You get on 71 South and say, next thing you know, welcome to Columbus. Columbus 71 miles. Columbus 50 miles. Polaris, you in Columbus. Columbus is a real place. And if you keep going south, you're running to Cincinnati. Guess what? Cincinnati's a real place. And then you turn around and go north, you're running to Toledo. You go to Akron, you go to Canton, you go keep going 71 north, and you'll be in Toledo. Sandusky, you keep going, you'll be in Detroit. All them real places. Amen. Hell's a real place too.
Amen.
Hell's a real place too. And if you keep living a certain way, and living a certain way, and living a certain way, and not loving the things of God, and not being born again, not being saved, guess what? You're going to be there. You know what? Something's really sad to me. And I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it's sad. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying it's sad. I ride by the cemeteries. And I see folks in the cemeteries decorating them expensive tombstones. And they decorating them and they flowering them up and they got hostas and they got nice stuff all around them. And they just, they complain to the caretaker of the cemetery. Oh, you know, the grass needs cutting. Hey, listen, folks, let me tell you something. It's a stone garden. All right? It's a stone garden. It's a beautiful stone garden. And that's all it is because there's nobody there. Okay? There ain't nobody there. There ain't nobody there. And they charging you $12,000-$15,000 to go into the ground. That's so sad. I don't know. Well, how do you feel about sin? I'm gonna preach sin, Pastor, preach sin. You know, how do you feel about sin? I'm just gonna read this. We talk about David, man after God's own heart. What about Job? When God spoke about Job, Satan came to God and he was talking to the heavenly host. And Satan came and God said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Okay. Now, the next couple of verses talk about this, him being a servant. And we all call ourselves servants. But here's what made Job a servant. Watch this now. He said, "There's none like him on heaven and under earth." Excuse me. "A perfect and upright man." Watch this now. "One that feared God and eschewed evil." That word "eschewed" being had nothing to do with evil. Had nothing to do with evil. Okay? As best as his ability. And I'm not saying Job was a perfect man. That's not what the word "perfect and upright" mean. I mean, he was working to be the best he could be. Okay? Job 31:1 said, "I made a covenant with my eyes." David made a covenant with his eyes. I mean, Job made a covenant with his eyes. What's that mean? Contract. Certain things I'm not going to look at. Certain things I'm not going to say. Probably made a covenant with his eyes. He probably made a covenant with his mouth. He probably made a covenant with his hands. And we ought to too. Amen. We ought to too. And when David, When David, King David, I'm going to close. He realized the impact that sin had on his life. He realized how sin had beat him down, had wore him out. And he understood the power of sin. Sometimes you don't understand the power of sin until you go through something. Some of us in this conversation, this service, it didn't make no sense. When you go through something, okay, and you hear we say all the time, sin will always take you further than you plan on going, keep you there longer than you plan on staying, and cost you more than you plan on spending. And when you realize sin and you survive it, okay, and you survive it, you'll feel like David. You'll feel like David. And Psalms 51 will resonate to you. And when you start reading these Psalms, okay? And this is why we said, let the word of God what? Dwell in you richly. Get this word in you and understand that if King David, a man after God's own heart, was damaged, he should have died. David should have been stoned for the sins he committed. But God gave him mercy. In a time where mercy wasn't being granted, David pleaded for mercy. And then when David realized that God had blessed him, watch what he says. And this ought to resonate with us. We ought to understand it. He said, wash me. Psalms 51 and 2, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. We ought to be pleading with God to cleanse us constantly. Constantly cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Doesn't that make sense? Mm-hmm. We all know this is personal. We all know what our issues are. We all know what our battles are. Okay, and it's to beat us here in prayer. We all going through. We all got adversities and trials, and we all going through. Ain't none of us got it all together.
Amen.
Okay. I sit here and talk today. How's your mom and dad doing? And I know that just breaks his heart. That just breaks his heart. That he's watching that and seeing that. Well, we don't, guess what? One day Jill gonna be taking care of him.
Amen.
So there's a positive part to come out of it because she's seeing it. But that's life. And I always say, in 50 years, now I got the two little ones over here, they'll be in their 50s. But in 50 years, you think it's empty in here now. If this church don't grow, in 50 years, okay, it ain't big enough to make a basketball court out of like the Calvin Center down there. You understand what I'm saying? David said, I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is ever before me. Against thee and only thee have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, and that thou mightest justify when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, David said, behold, I was shaped in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. You know what David's saying? I need to be born again. I was born in sin. Okay? I was born in sin. Sprinkling didn't do nothing. Okay? I was born in sin, and I need to be born again.
Amen.
And all of us in here, if you're not saved, you need to be born again. Okay? And if you're being born again and giving you strength and power, maybe you need to be born again. Because something got to happen. You say you're born again, something got to happen.
Amen.
Okay? It don't always, you know, just like one of them lighters. It don't always come on the first time. Okay, you know, you... Okay? Maybe you need to be born again. I thought I was born again, but I don't have no power. I don't have no control. I don't have no power. I need to be born again. Here's his seven. Purge me. David said, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. How about that? Make me to hear joy and gladness. Give me ears to hear God's word. Give me ears to hear God's word. What a great prayer.
Amen.
Make me to hear. Give me a heart for the things of God. Some of us don't have it. We'd be honest with ourselves. Listen to a sermon on a Tuesday night. It's just foreign to many of us. Okay, well, you know, what you doing? I'm listening to a sermon online. That don't even cross our minds. Coming to Bible study don't cross our minds anymore. Coming to Sunday school don't cross our minds. And then, 'cause we didn't got our way. And then we need to plead with God, make me to hear. Well, it's gonna cost you something. Okay? Because your schedule's already set. Well, I got things I do on Wednesday night. I got things I do on Sunday morning. You know? I got a couple of members. Say, well, that's my sleep in day. Make me to hear. I need to hear from the Lord. Make me to hear, God, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. You know what David felt like the whole year that he walked around with that sin weighing him down? He felt like he was going to break at any minute. Amen. He felt like the weight of that sin was so heavy on him that he was going to crumble at any minute. Anybody been there other than the pastor?
Amen. Amen.
You just feel like this thing could collapse on me. And it gets like that. Amen. Life gets like that. That's why we got to hear the word of God. Why? Because there's power in the word of God. There's strength in hearing God's word. Mm-hmm. This is why I try to be so faithful and coming on Wednesday night. I go to so many churches in this town. You know, it's summertime. People got things to do. It's too hot to go to church. Then in wintertime, it's too cold to go to church. So we don't have no Wednesday night Bible study. When it's raining, make me to hear joy and gladness. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. What an awesome prayer David is putting up. Hide my face from sin. Why? Sin is all around us. When we leave here today, all of us gonna be faced with sinfulness, sinful folks. Matter of fact, there's some sinful folks waiting for us.
Amen.
Waiting for you to get out of church.
Oh, yeah.
You know? You got your phone on airplane mode. As soon as you turn it off, it's gonna start beeping. Girl. This created me a new heart. Here's a plea. Created me a new heart. Oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. What about that? A clean heart. A clean heart. This, you know, this world will dust you up. This world will mess you up.
Amen.
This will mess you up. It'll keep you dirty. You hang around folks and influences you and the counsel and the ungodliness. That's all around. It's all around. David says, cast me not away from thy presence. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. We ain't got to worry about that. David was under the law. He removed the spirit from Saul. Remember, Saul was a wicked king, and God took his spirit. We live in a world now. We live in a day and age now where we're under grace, and God ain't going to take us. We've been sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of what? Redemption. How about that? David was asking for grace in an age and under the law. Restoring to me the joy of thy salvation. You know what? So, you know, we should be so happy. Christian people, saved people ought to be the happiest people you ever want to meet. But unfortunately, you know, it's people, you know, they listen to these Hollywood folks and you think they're the happiest people. You would think they was the happiest people. Okay? What's the little short, dark-skinned dude? Can't stand him. Kevin Hart. Oh. Oh. What a bag of filth.
Amen.
And everybody, he, they love him. The world love him.
Uh-huh.
The world love him. They love him. And every other word, F-bomb, F-bomb, F-bomb. How about that? Kevin Hart come to Youngstown. All the church be there.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin Hart, huh? Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart on Saturday night, Jesus Christ on Sunday morning. Oh. Restore unto me the joy of salvation. There ain't no joy in the world. Then, verse 13, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Well, David was a hater. He hated the things that God hated. And we see God hated a lot of things. And I could go on and on and on. But we talk about what made David a man after God's own heart. David had a hatred for the things that God hated. Yeah. How about us? Do we hate what God hate? Wow. You want to be a man after God's own heart. How about that? Somebody say, I want to be a man after God's own heart. Well, and guess what? Uh-huh. You're going to be a hater. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be hated. Jesus said, they hated me. They're going to hate you. You tell somebody you're a Christian, they're going to hate you. Yeah. Why? Because your whole life says that they're wrong. And if you're right, then I got problems. Uh-huh. Okay? So you can't be right. You got to be a fool. And the Bible says a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So if we're going to preach the Bible, the word of God is always preached that way. And I just read scriptures today. But Peter was saying to his people, when they were under persecution, he said, but the word of the Lord endure forever. Okay? And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And forever means forever. And the church is saying, well, you know what? That word is archaic. It's old. We need something new. And the people need something new. Well, that's contrary to what the word of God says.
Amen.
It's an old, archaic word. And people say, well, you got to spice it up, man. You want to get the young people to come, man. You got to let the hip-hoppers come in and the rappers come in and the dancers come in. And you got to have a good time because people want to have a good time, you know. Feet swift to run the mischief. And then people know that. So they say, oh, open the doors. Let them come in. Let the praisers come in. Let the dancers come in, you know. And you get no word. And then when you die, unprepared. Precious Lord, we thank you this morning.